Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to the Global Vision for Living today. And let me tell you something. I got some good news for you. There's not going to be any vision whatsoever for living unless we put the greatest visionary known in the universe in the forefront. And that is the true and one and only God of the universe. Psalms 83 talks about this God, and it says that people may know that thou, whose name art Jehovah, art the Most High God over all of the universe. Hey, you know what? That's the only person that we're going to talk about and listen to, because we want to know, as our topic, how do I know God cares about me? I mean, millions are walking around confused and happy today that they've heard about a God who cares for humanity. But with all the crisis and hatred and the brokenheartedness in the world, many feel that God just isn't interested in them, nor does he care about their current or eternal welfare. My God, what does a person do? Wait a minute, what do I do? You know, I love people and thinking about others, but now, you know what? This comes down to me, myself, and I. What do I want to know? And we have Colonel Harrison with us. We call him Colonel, but he is really Dr. William Harrison from the East Coast, and he is just a very dynamic man. He is the presiding minister for the International Platform for Peace, USA Division, as well as presiding pastor of Second Union Baptist Church. So, yay, we're going to get started right now. Colonel Harrison, how would a person know that God really cares about him? I mean, he's confused. He doesn't like what he sees going on in the world. You know, he's sick, he's busted and disgusted. How can anybody say God cares about them if they're in that kind of shape?
Yes, good morning, Dr. Coppentino, listening audience. People can know that God cares about them because God is the creator. He's the creator of the heaven and earth and everything that dwells therein. And he created everything in love. So God loves all of his creation. And mankind is God's highest creation, created mankind just a little lower than the angels in heaven.
Well, you know what? I really can't see that. I mean, millions of people, as we just said, they're confused, they're sad, they're unhappy, they're sick, they broke, they have too many enemies and not enough friends. How can anybody say that God loves them and they're in that shape? I think you better break that down.
Well, for one to know that God loves them or believe that God loves them, they have to get to know who God is. And that's God Jehovah, Psalm 83:18. He is the Most High over all the earth and the universe. So they have to get to know who the creator is. It's like we get to know each other. We have to get to know who God is and develop a relationship with God through prayer.
So you're saying a person needs like a free home Bible study, or they need to be in a Bible-based teaching church. I mean, how would a person get to know God? You know, they wake up hungry and ain't got no gas in the car. And you know what? I'm just telling it exactly like it is. How would that happen? How would they know where to be steered? I mean, there's thousands of churches in just about every state in the U.S. I mean, would they just wake up, get some clothes on, and start walking down the street? I mean, is there a system for a person to get to know God? I mean, you have Hispanic, you got Negro. I just heard that, you know, Biden used that Negro word, you know, it was this week. I mean, you have all manner of races and people and teachings and leanings. You have the agnostics, you have the atheists. And I mean, you know, my head is spinning even talking about it. So how would a person get to know God? You know, that's very heavy what you said, in order to know that God really cares about them. And I agree with you 100%. Yes, you have got to know this God before you can know that he cares. about you, not so much the things that you are doing, because every kid, every human being over three has heard the word sin, S-I-N. And they have said, oh, you know what, doctor, I think that's doing bad things. Well, you darn right it is. But let's get back to this. A person's got to know God. How would he do that? Give us some steps.
Number one, I would say they should cry out to God. Cry out to him. Call out to him.
Is that prayer?
The first way. Yes,
okay, is that prayer?
Prayer?
Okay, so number one, you're saying prayer. Anyone that is interested, hey, you guys, I want you listening, you know, those of you that are sad and you're unhappy, so that means that you have got to fall down on your knees. You've got to cry to God through prayer. You might not know exactly what you're talking about or what you're saying, but one thing you know, I'm messed up. How I got this way, I don't know. You know, I don't care, but I'm messed up, and I know I need some divine help. Police can't help me. Doctors can't help me, and I think we all can testify to that. Mama may be gone. Daddy may be gone. So when you say approach God in prayer and call out to him, how would they do that?
Simply by having a talk with God. God, mm-hmm. Here I am. I'm troubled. I'm confused. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's going to happen to me. I don't know where I'm asleep. I don't know what I'm going to get to eat. I have very little clothes on my back. Lord, help me. They just got to call out to God for help. And the Bible says God answers the prayer not only of the righteous, he answers the prayers of those who are in need and those who call out to him because he wishes that none should perish. So they just have to have a talk with God, which is called prayer, call out to God, humble themselves before him, and God will manifest his presence to them.
Okay, so once God manifests his presence, are you saying that these people are going to start living a good life, you know, a better life? They're going to start doing the right things by their neighbor. They're going to start seeking out some way, anywhere, any place, heaven or earth, to learn and hear more about God. Is that what you're saying?
Second step, Dr. Coppertine, they have to turn around. They have to turn away from evil things, turn away from wrongful things, turn away from doing things that are causing their destruction. Turn away from it. And as they're talking to God, turn away from that which is wrong. And they position themselves so that God can commune with them through dream or vision or revelation and hear their need, hear their cry, hear their plea, and be able to refer them to someone or provide them with substance or send them someplace where they can get assistance and get help.
You know, okay, you know, that sounds great, but now you mentioned the word repent. I really don't hear that in too many churches. You must repent. You must turn away from sin. Most people really don't know what sin is. You know, they're just sort of, oh, you know, I really don't know about God. You know, I really don't know about him. You know, I have never heard that name Jehovah. You know, I never read the Psalms. I mean, what exactly are you saying in that regard when you say repent? I have always thought that it meant, you know, when I was really heavily involved in the church, that it meant to turn around from evil words, evil deeds, you know, thoughts that are not good, sanguinary. I've always heard that. But when you tell modern day 2021, 2022 individuals, I'll just say that, I'll call them that, to repent. Are you saying that if a person turned around from dead works, no good works, that God is automatically going to hear his cry and accept the man? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying, doctor. That's the process. First calling out to God for help, which having a talk of some called prayer, then turning away from wrongdoing, turn away from that which is wrong, that which is causing their dilemma, causing their problems, causing their hardship. They got to turn unto God, turn away from that which is helping to destroy them and causing them to be in the situation and circumstances they're in. And the Bible calls it repentance, as you've said, but it's just making a change in their lives, turning away from that which they're doing and turn toward that which would be better and in the best interest of their life and better for their welfare and their betterment.
Okay, I'm going to throw a little ring in here. That word repent, it means to turn around, turn back.
Yes.
Turn away from evil and wicked works. Now, when we actually tell our listening audience, okay, you got to turn around. You can't do those things anymore. You got to make sure that when you turn around, you're not going to turn back around to the opposite direction. Now, if we're telling people, our listening audience, that they've got to repent, which means turn around, when they turn around, it's not going to be an overnight job of them turning around and away from evil, because who's going to be waiting there on the other side? If they've been walking through evil, damnation, crazy action, stupidity, spiritual stupidity, then if they turn around, where are we going to tell them to start marching toward? If you're going north, and all of a sudden you're going to turn around and you're going to be going south, what can we tell the audience that they're going to get on the other side? How would they know when they turn around where to go? How would they know after they turn around what they should be doing? How would they know if they turn around there's a pretty good chance help is waiting on the other side, so that they don't also make that 360 and they're back in the hell hole that they just left? What would we say they should do once they turn around? Because, hey, you've been walking in sin, craziness. You done shot three people last night. You done beat up your mama last week. I mean, all of these things. And then all of a sudden we say, oh, my God. Okay, turn around. What? Where are they going to turn around to? What advice can we give them? We just can't send them out there back into the world with a just repent, turn around message. What should they do once they repent and turn around? They're not looking into that hellhole where they have just come out of, may fall back in it. I don't know. You don't know. What should they do after they turn around from their wicked works? They're going to need some help now. That is a cue. What are they supposed to do?
Go to a church. If their church is open in their community, if the church is not open, then there will be teachers within certain neighborhoods, certain communities. There are certain organizations that will teach and help show them the way, help lead them the way, help provide them with some substance, whatever they need. So they have to. Their churches are still open. There are some are closed, but there are churches, community churches, that are still open, and they can go there and get help and get directions and get guidance and get assistance with what they need, substance and so forth, as well as spiritual assistance, spiritual guidance and direction. If not, then there are teachers in certain communities that will be able to help them. There are certain organizations in certain communities that provide assistance to people that will also make referrals to them to take care of their welfare, their food, their clothing, their shelter, and then from there they will also assist them with their spiritual needs and direction.
Oh, that sounds absolutely wonderful, but I'm hearing the scripture where Jesus himself said, you know, my house is going to be a house of prayer. So right now, because, you know, there's so many people unhoused, unchurched, they're homeless, I doubt very seriously that they're going to be able to just get off the ground and walk next door to a church and, oops, there it is. I'm in. I'm on the inside. I'm going to get better. I doubt that. Here in the state of California, and I know you are there on the East Coast, half of all the churches that were in operation a year ago, they're gone. They're closed. I think I might have mentioned this example about the church world and the church community that are not set up like that to just take people in and start teaching them and telling them to go here and to go there. That's a big job to find the right church. And again, prayer would help. But I'm going to tell you a little story very quickly. When my dad died, they wanted me to put on some operatic concert, a fundraiser to raise money. And they put me in this beautiful home on a hill there. I think it was Baldwin Hills, Leimert Park, and it was all glass. The whole the whole wall was all glass. So as they put me up there and they were looking and listening at me singing, it was an Italian song, When I'm Laid in the Earth. It was gorgeous, beautiful. I had probably about 3 nights to memorize that, you know, get the picture to me. This is what happened. You name the top pastors in this state. They were all there. It was so many people in this mansion, they had to go down the street getting chairs from neighbors. There were so many people coming in. They were triple parking. It was fantastic. But James Mims, Bishop Mims, was a great man. And so after I sung and so forth and so on, I had this big costume on and this A.O. and Dandanias headpiece, it was great. Now, I told you, all the top 20, I mean, top cold-blooded ministers that were there. I had Chip Murray sitting at my feet. I know I don't have to mention who he is. I had Trinity Baptist. I could just name all the churches and the pastors that left him that were there in honor of Bishop Mims. But what happened after it was all over with, you know, I heard them as I was getting out the clothes. I heard them speaking about, you know, funding and this $100 million project for the James Howard Mims Bible Institute, a museum of ministry where all the preachers can have a space there in this museum, bring their first preaching robe and first everything. Well, when I was told by appointment to go around and pick up these checks, I said to each one of these pastors, I think I only got to about 8 of them, but and I hope I'm okay in saying this. I don't care if I'm not, because it's true. As I went from a big pastor, you know, on, they said, Doctor, we love you. Oh, my God, your voice is, oh, my God. I don't want you bringing a busload of kids and poor folk to my church. I'm telling you, now, you know what, send it all over the universe, let alone nationwide. Again, I said, I don't care. But my goal was to tell them we're going to also use this money to buy buses, to pick up, you know, the indigenous and those that, you know, didn't have anything. But, you know, they want to get God. I want more God. I want to hear about God. I got to be next to God. That was the pitch that I used. And they said, and each one of them, they had checkbooks, you know, long books with the long check in. I said, here, doctor, I'm going to give you $1,000. Here, I'm going to give you $1,000. Here, I'm going to give you $3,000. This should help you do what you do, but don't bring po-po with a bunch of Holland kids in my church. I said, wow. But, you know, I didn't say that in front of them. At the end of the day, I must have had about 40, 50,000 toward it. And at that time, I was with the Palos Verdes Women's Caucus, and, you know, I was up there for lunch, and I told them the story, too. You know, I mean, each one of them women, don't talk about rich folk and Palos Verdes, because up there, they don't play. And so they had also, you know, they said, well, we can't go into the inner city schools and try and teach and help the young kids there because, oh my God, it's not safe, it's not this, it's not that. So they all wrote a check, too. So at the end of the day, the attorney said, give it all back. Said, this is not the spirit in which you want to take a quarter, and you need to go back to where you came from, Dr. Steve, and remap this, revamp it. Why am I saying all of this? I'm saying it because to tell people to, you know, go into a church, just walk in blindfolded to any church, thinking you're going to get anything, that's not right. I think we need to go back and teach and tell our listeners that the first thing is first, prayer. God is not going to send you into a church of vipers, you know, things that ain't right, things that, you know, oh, my God, they're just crazy. He is not going, is he a fool? Is he crazy? He is not going to send anybody into that arena. So now let's kind of go back off of that. The best way to help anyone get to know God, find out if God really cares about them. Find out his name. You know, it's not too many people using that name, Jehovah. You know, the Bible even says there's many gods, there's many this, many that. The best thing, and I never hear this, I've heard it from one minister recently, you have got to get in the home. We cannot sit around and tell anybody they're going to learn anything about God, they're going to be anything in God, with God, for God, and because of God, because I know his name. That is not how it works. Jesus himself, last word, ascension, go ye therefore teaching and preaching. How are you going to do that? Preaching, yeah, you can stand on the soapbox anywhere. Go to the northeast jungle, you can do that. But when it talks to teaching, you got to be inside somewhere, hopefully, where there's a family assembled there. Daddy, go get everybody here. If they don't eat nothing, I'm going to throw them out by midnight. If they don't come in here and hear these people talk about God, I've heard it all in my 30 years as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. And, oh, let me tell you, every one of them in my 30 years, I heard them talk about some of these churches like a dog. The householder, not us. We were coming in there under the auspice of the true and the living God. But they said, oh, I'm so glad you guys hear them old preachers. They don't do nothing but open them old doors up, and they do this and they do that. You're a pastor, Colonel Harrison, so I know you might have heard some of this. But the only way, how do I know God cares about me? These people have got to be taught that God cares about them. Yeah, if we're standing at the door, they didn't already pray, oh, God, you know, my life is miserable. You know, my son's running around with guns, with his crazy ass, and blah, 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 blah. I've heard it all. But the best way to hear it all and to look in their face and know that they truly want to know that God cares. Well, who cares about God these days? You know, I got all the money I need in the bank. I got this, I got that. Hey, the best way to do it, and listening audience, we encourage you to do the same thing. I was a suicide victim almost. I can't tell that full story. Maybe next week or next month I will. But as I sat there on the edge of that bed, handful of pills, and when I went to throw them all in my mouth, knock, 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 came to the door. And I fell off the bed. The pills went one way, and I went up there, and I said, yeah, who is it? And these two men, one man, I heard the male voice, Jehovah's Witness. And I opened the door up, and I said, what are you doing here? And he said, how would you like to learn how to live in paradise on earth? I collapsed on the door, and I heard him say, go get mad, he told the other man. And within seconds, two women came in there. They didn't stop asking no questions. Well, what you doing? What's wrong? And the tallest woman just grabbed me off that floor, and she started talking about, oh, Jehovah, in the name of Jesus, this young woman, this, this, and that. God, you know all about her. I kind of remember some of that. That saved me, and those people were there every week. What am I saying? You've got to get anybody with common sense can tell you. People open the door up and preach 2 hours. You don't see them no more till the next Sunday unless they begging, full of dope, then got off the highway from selling dope. What you going to do about that? You got to get into their face. You got to go to the home. That's where it all starts. That's where it originates. That's where yearning originates. That's where they land full of dope and alcohol. You've got to get to the home. How many times do we have to say that? And I had a Jehovah's Witness friend call me last month that said 200,000 joined in 1 month. Why are they standing around at a Kingdom Hall when all these other churches are there? Because I guess they know that they're on the right track. You cannot do it. These preachers are going, they're going to wear themselves out and die dry rotted. All skin, body dried out, trying to do what Jesus told them not to do. Going to keep on doing that. But you got to, me, listeners, you got to get to people, face up. How do I know? I wouldn't be here talking now if them men, two men, hadn't walked on there, had a magazine, a Watchtower and Awake and all of that. You know, I've seen them. I told Mama when I was a young lady I was going to end up being one of them, and I did, of course. But it was because they came to the door talking about a message, not sitting up. I wasn't going nowhere. I didn't have no car then. And my father was just coming in to me. No. So to get a person to realize that God cares, get up personal in their face. If you don't want to go door to door, stand in front of a donut shop. Stand on a corner.
But Dr. Weston, Colonel Harrison, in your ministry, is this something that you do to help people realize that God cares? I ain't going to read and study about nothing. No God, no dead God, Satan, unless I know they care about me. So who is it? Who is it? Like the prophet, here I am, send me. Send me. Not come up and try to hear me saying something. I may hear two words and get up and leave, but I tell you what, I'm in my home. Ain't nowhere to go but stay in my home and hear what you have to say. Kurt, is this something that you practice at Second Union Baptist Church? You are a minister.
Yes, the teaching, Go Ye Therefore, Matthew 28, Doc, is very important. That's the commission that God gave the original 12 disciples. Still pertains to us who believe in Jesus Christ as the modern-day disciples, that we are to teach people. Yes, preaching draws people unto salvation, but it's the teaching that keeps them under salvation. And so, I teach on the prayer line in the mornings 5 days a week. I teach a Bible study the middle of the week on Wednesdays and so forth and so on. And then we have outreach ministries where we go to the senior building and we teach them. And we were out just Thanksgiving feeding the veterans and having prayer with them and encouraging them and giving them care packages and so on. And so with the teaching, we also have to show that compassion, as Jesus did, that we have love because we are our brother's keeper. So, yeah, the teaching is very, very important, as you've stated, Doc.
Yeah, there is no other way. And if you look at how many times the word teach is expounded on there in Scripture, Holy Scripture, then, hey, we're onto something. The Mormons is going out, been going out, Seventh-day Adventists, they going out, walking around. I've seen another group where the men had on black tie, white shirts, and black pants, and they had Bibles in their hand. We just cannot get around it. I don't know where that came from, but, you know, with the black race coming out of slavery, 1860s, you know, building parts of the White House, they got started on a vegetable box, standing up in tattered clothes, trying to tell people about hellfire, the bonfire, Satan, and all of that. Did it work? Look at how that religion held the black people together, and look at them now, robbing, stealing, looting. We're at the, well, I'm Sioux Indian, and I'm not saying that to say that I'm not black. But the thing is that look how far we came from with grandma praying, and now they looting and doing everything, killing each other. I mean, what is wrong? You know what is wrong? This thing called religion with the black race has developed into preacher worship and everything else, rather than, you know what, I'm going to stand here until Johnny Blue get God in his bloodstream. I'm going to stand here and talk until those names across the street know about God. You don't hear that, but I tell you what, we're paying the price. There's so many things we can talk about. As you know, people love the show. You can contact and know more about Colonel Harrison if you go to www.IP4peace.org. You already know Dr. Cappuccino, www.caacg.org. It tells a lot about what we do and why. But most of all, if anyone wants to know, how do they know that God cares about them, as Colonel Harrison brought out, start with prayer. Start with prayer. Just don't run into no chicken leg church. You don't know nothing about it. You don't know nothing about the pastor. That is not the way to go. But you're not supposed to be going around, sitting around anyway. You're supposed to be out proselyting. Once you learn about the power of the Holy Ghost, you learn about the power of God's word. And most of all, you learn about what God expects out of you. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in to the Global Vision. For living today without a vision, you might be existing, but you really not. You're not going to have a powerful life in God. Thank you. If you have any questions, you can send that to mothernature7@gmail.com. We do answer all phone numbers, 424-634-9615. And, of course, Colonel Harrison's will be listed on the dashboard. God bless you. Thank you. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. And don't forget, God do care about you. God bless you.